to us. So if you would turn with me tonight, this morning to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll be reading chapter 27, a portion of it, and then also be looking at Luke chapter number 23. But in Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 11, here we find Jesus is being interrogated and questions are asked of Him, and these are just a few hours before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ as He stands before Pilate and Barabbas is released. And we find in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked Him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And he was accused of the chief priests and elders. He answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? He answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now it was at the feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a noble prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him a saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in the dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that the rather a tumult was made. And he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Here we find the interrogation of the governor, which is, of course, Pilate. And we find in other places, Pilate says, I don't find anything wrong with the Lord. I find no fault in Him. He calls Him here a just person. He calls Him a just individual, a man that really had not done anything worthy of dying or worthy of death. But yet, he being a governor, he being persuaded by the popularity opinion of people, he was persuaded to release unto them Barabbas. And he was a notable criminal. He was a man that had done many things and notable, and everybody knew him, and of course worthy of dying. But they said, give us Barabbas. And of course he took water and he washed his hands and he said, I'm free of the blood of this just man. I doubt very seriously that he was free of the blood of Jesus Christ. That crowd around the Lord and around Pilate said, let his blood be on our hands and our children's hands. And we do not want him. He's not our king. He's not our Christ. He's not our Messiah. And so they released Barabbas, and now Jesus is taken. The Bible says he was scourged, or he was beaten, and he is delivered to the Jews to be crucified. So there was choices made at that time. Pilate made the choice to follow the call and to follow the whims of the people around him, because he thought and realized that there would be a great tumult or a great problem if he did not do that. And so he made his choice, and he let them and was persuaded to give them Barabbas and then hand over the Lord Jesus Christ. There are choices offered to us continually. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18 that Elijah said, if the Lord be Lord, if He be God, then let's follow Him. So let's just follow after Him if He be God. The Bible tells us in the book of Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And so the choices have been before people and before mankind from the very beginning of time. Adam and Eve had a choice there in the Garden of Eden. They had the choice of either doing what God told them to do, or they could fall into sin and do what they did by their own free volition. So choices are before us. This morning, there are choices around us continually. As believers, as Christians, we are to choose that which is right and that which is good and godly, and we're to follow the direction that God gives to us, but we must say yes to those things. As unbelievers, people are offered and given the message of salvation. They either can accept it or reject it. The choice is theirs. The opportunity is theirs. Over in the book of Luke chapter 23, another passage of Scripture concerning the death of the Lord, we move now out of Pilate's hall and we are moving and have moved to Golgotha. We go to the place where Jesus was crucified. We are standing there beneath that area of what's called the skull. And the Scripture relates to us some things that were taking place there as Jesus and those two malefactors, or those two criminals, were dying one on either side of Him. And we find there were choices there also. In Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 32, the Bible says, "And there were two other malefactors led with Him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the malefactor one on the right hand, the other on the left. And then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment." And the Bible tells us and goes on and says they put a superscription up above His head, and that in superscription said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews," or "This is the King of the Jews." In verse number 39, the Scripture says, "And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on Him, saying, If Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost Thou not fear God, seeing Thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom." Here is two men. One makes the choice. One makes the, if you want to call it a decision, but he makes a choice that Jesus Christ was a just man. Jesus was a man that had done nothing wrong, and no charges had been laid against him that would be true. And he is there unjustly, but yet he's dying, and there's no escape from that. Now the one malefactor, or the one criminal, he comes along and he said, "Jesus, if you're who you say you are, then you could come down off the cross, you can save yourself, and, oh, by the way, you could save us too." And really, he was more interested in us than he was Jesus. He was self-centered, and he was desiring to escape and for Jesus to prove or to show that he could do that. You see, a lot of people, only thing that they ever want to acknowledge is what they have seen. But faith is not what we see. Faith is what we believe by the Word of God. And you and I this morning, we may never see great miracles that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, did upon this earth, and we certainly will not see some of the things that's listed in our Scripture, but we do know that He is God, we do know that He is Jesus, we know He is our Savior, and we believe that not by what we've seen, but we believe that by what we have faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so there's no way that a person can ever come know Christ if they do not hear the Word of God. A lot of people are trying to stamp out the Scripture and trying to water it down, but the Word of God brings forth salvation and brings life. And so there are choices that were made surrounding the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men had their choice, and they could either make light of God or they could love Him. And the same way for us this morning. We could either love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart and serve Him, or we can go backward and do nothing as a Christian and be found wanting when time comes for us to stand before God. And as a lost individual, we can deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day we'll lift up our eyes in hell, being in torment. The choice is ours. The deliverance is given, and the offer is open to all that will come. And we might rather to have the vinegar of life rather than the sweetness of the Lord, but yet one day we will stand before God with the choices that we make. We've all made choices. We've made some choices wrong. And some choices that we've made we've had to pay for, and we've had to look upon and had to try to rework them. But I'll tell you what, there's only one thing that we can do when it comes to salvation and eternity, and that is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. to believe upon Him and to trust Him with all of our heart and all of our soul and casting our cares upon Him, knowing that He cares for us. So the choice is either to make light of Him or trust Him or believe Him and accept Him. We have the choice of admitting our sins or ignoring the issue. We can admit that we're sinners, and the Bible very clearly declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible very clearly tells us from the very beginning of time of Adam and Eve to this very moment that mankind are sinners, and we are sinners in God's sight. We cannot reach the point where God would have for us. We fall short of that. And the only way we can come to the Lord is by faith and believing upon Him. Somebody says, well, I've got plenty of time. I'm just going to ignore the warning signals. I'm going to ignore the warning lights and the signals around me, and I'm just going to do what I want to do and live the way I want to live. But I'll tell you what, it's Jesus that makes the difference. It's Jesus that turns things around. It's He that will change everything in our life. And so we find that the choices are before us, and we must admit, we must take and accept our wrongdoing and our sins and say, yes, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me that I might have life. You see, that is not what religion tells us. Religion says we can do pretty good and we can honor other people. And we can do good, especially around Christmas and Easter. We can open our hearts of gratitude and we can show off some religious deeds and some religious goods. But that is not salvation. Salvation is an inner experience of an individual. When Jesus comes on the scene and we meet Him and we fall on our face and our heart is burdened because of our sin and we believe upon Him. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad it says whosoever. I'm glad it doesn't just say a certain group or a certain kind. I'm glad it's not just for the Jew. I'm glad it's for the Gentiles also. Now it does, God does limit it down to those who believe. For whosoever shall call, or that word call represents our belief in Him. And so we limit it to the things where God says, if you believe, then you call upon Me, and then I'll satisfy the need of your heart and your soul, and I'll save you for whosoever. But we can say no to that. We can say, I'll not have that. We can reject it and we can turn our back on it, and I'm sure all of us have many times done that, and then one day the Lord arrested our soul. The grace of God is always there available if we'll come unto Him and believe, and He does make the difference. He's the difference. I wrote down some things just thinking about He making the difference. He makes the difference in between the truth and a lie. He's the difference. He makes the difference in a cornerstone and a stumbling block. You see, it can be the same stone, but to some it's a builder and a cornerstone, but some people stumble over truth and die and go to hell. Jesus is the difference between faith and religion. He is the difference between blessings and cursings, and He's the difference between God's way and man's way. He's the difference between life and death, and oh, by the way, He's the difference between heaven and hell. He is the difference. We don't go to heaven because of our religion. We don't go to hell because we're heaven because we're Baptists. We don't go to hell because of what we do or do not do. We go to heaven because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go to hell because of our rejection of the Savior, the Lord. So the choice is before us. The needs are there for all of us. And the choice is either religion or Christ. And there's no question what it should be. I've seen a lot of religious people, but they know nothing about Jesus Christ. I know a lot of church people that go every Sunday or Sunday night, and they go every week, and they're involved in their church activities, but they do not know for sure that when they leave this world, they'll go to heaven. I'm glad I have that hope. Not only do I have that hope, I have that knowledge from God's Word. And so we find that the choices are there before us, and if we accept religion, we'll take the social issues over the spiritual issues. We find many times good people getting involved in things that look good and sound good, and they sort of lean toward that as being their reason for going to heaven. We don't go to heaven because we We are socially involved with helping people. I believe we ought to be involved with helping people, but not in order to gain heaven, but because we are careful and caring about people. Religion proclaims man-made rules, and where God says, just come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You see, religion offers us a thou shalt and thou shalt not. Salvation offers us, it's already been done. Salvation offers to us what Jesus did and those men hanging there beside Him. One recognized that this is the Son of God, and one recognized that He did nothing amiss, He did nothing wrong, and the other said, well, we just need to get off of here. We just need to be delivered physically. And so this man said to the Lord, Lord Jesus, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, what wonderful words. Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The man that believed upon the Lord, he was not trying to get out of his payment for his deeds. He didn't say, Lord, if you're who you say you are, come down off the cross and save yourself and us. He said, Lord, would you just remember me when you come to your kingdom? And Jesus said, today we'll be together. Today, we're going to die. It's inevitable. They were hanging on the cross. They were going to die. And Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, whether or not we want to think about it, but we are all going to die. We outmaneuver it sometimes. We outrun it sometimes. We put it off for a little while. But somewhere down life's pathway, we're going to die. That's a reality. Just like Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What Jesus was telling that man is that we're going to die. But there's hope after death. You're not just going to die and go back to the dust of the earth. You're not just going to be like an animal. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm glad this morning if I leave this world, and if you're a believer and you leave this world today, we shall be in the paradise of God. It's called heaven. We have that hope. We have that knowledge. Why? Because one day we said, Lord, remember me. I believe, I trust, I call. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, no longer is it religion that's important, no longer is it things that are important, but we come to admitting our sin and coming to Him, and Jesus wipes the slate clean and says, all things well. You'll be with me. What a blessed hope that is, and the choice that's made at Calvary. It's either joining the crowd or following the truth. The crowd today doesn't want to hear much about the Lord. The crowds today deny and they reject and they totally are in opposition to God's work. But we can follow them. And there are multitudes that are following that pernicious way, that terrible way. But thank God for those that believe truth. What did the Scripture say about truth? Thy word is truth. Thy word. This book, this message, the Word of God, as God inspired His Word and as He breathed out the Word of God, His Word is truth. And if God says, then we must believe. If God says we're all sinners, we're all sinners. His Word's truth. If God says, whosoever will, then we must believe that I can be a whosoever and I can come to Him. If God says, if you die without me, one day you'll die without God and you'll lift up your eyes to God and it'll be too late. If God says that, then we must believe that. If God says there is a heaven, praise the Lord, I can believe that. But if He also says there is a hell, I must believe that. A lot of talk about heaven, not a whole lot of talk about hell. But you know, in the Word of God, there's probably twice as many verses of Scripture on hell than there are on heaven. We emphasize the good because that's human nature. We emphasize the righteous and what we want, and we emphasize what we hope God says there's a reality. The other side of the coin, there is hell. The hell is to shun and to stay away from. We must believe. Join the crowd and follow falsehood, or join the things of the Lord and find truth. Thy word is truth. The majority is not always right. Most of the time, majorities are not right. Not every time, but most. The majority of people died in the flood because they rejected the Word of God. But the majority of them died. The majority of those died in Sodom and Gomorrah because they rejected the truth. The crowd chooses destruction when God offers deliverance. The crowd today, the majority, folks, in this world, let's just bring it down to our America. I'm afraid the majority of Americans, I know the percentage that say we're Christian and all, but I'm talking about really knowing Jesus Christ. I'm afraid the majority do not know. But the truth is there for us to take. You see, we either serve ourselves or we serve Christ. We're occupied with things or we're occupied with Him. We're occupied with time, and sometimes we need to be occupied with eternity. More and more, it's sometimes a fearful thing. I'm more and more hearing of people that are my age that are just gone. On my preacher's email list about 3 weeks ago, within a period of 5 days, there was 4 preachers that passed away, and all of them under 60, and none of them were sick. So you don't have to be old to die. But we do have to face eternity. We don't have to be old and decrepit and finally just dwindle away and die. Young people die also. Middle-aged people die. I got news day before yesterday that my cousin up in Ohio, been here, Ronnie, he sang here a few times at our camp meeting. He's got an aneurysm. The aorta of his heart is twice the size it ought to be. He's 6 months older than I am. And they're ready for surgery just as soon as they can get it. We're going to die. And people play with their lives and they play with time like it's going to go on and on and on, when one day time's going to stop for us. One day God says, that's enough. One day God says, there's your day. It's appointed a man wants to die. You know, every one of us in here this morning, I could call your names. Every one of us have an appointment. How many of you have a doctor's appointment this week? Anybody? I fear there'd be some. I'm putting my hand down. Not yet. We have an appointment that we keep. It's 2 o'clock Tuesday or 8 o'clock Monday or noon Thursday. We write it down so we won't forget it. And they call us the day ahead of time to remind us. We have an appointment. Well, God has called us ahead of time that we have an appointment. Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto man once to die, after this, the judgment. See, that's an appointment that you're going to keep. Now, I've broken a few appointments. Couldn't do it or something came up and sometimes just didn't want to do it. I broke a few because I just didn't want to hear the outcome, so I put it off a while. Oh, y'all laughing. You've done that too, huh? But there's an appointment that we will not break. For it's appointed a man wants to die. I have a date somewhere out there in the future. I don't know where it is. I don't want to know. Somebody said, well, I sure wish I knew when I was going to die. I don't want to know when I'm going to die. I'd probably speed up worrying about when I'm going to die. Or how I'm going to die. I don't know how. But I do know one thing, I'm going to die. And what I do with the Lord on this side of eternity determines what He does with me on the other side of eternity. What I do with the Lord here determines what He does with me there. For He will say, enter in thou good and faithful servant. Or he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. That's the decision. It's determined on what I do on this side while I'm breathing and living. The choice is ours. To please people or to please God. Too many people try to please people. We need to please God. The choice is rejecting or receiving. Receive Jesus Christ and be saved. Receive Christ and have our sins forgiven. Receive Christ and have a life forever with Jesus Christ. Or we can reject and be religious as Cain was religious and try to offer our own ways but yet be rejected. Or we can reject the Lord and we can have the privilege of some people and just live around all the blessings of God and still reject Him and one day die without God. We can even be as prayerful as the Pharisees and still be lost. Why, the Pharisees, they fasted, they went through the motions, they kept the Sabbath. They were strict. They were the fundamentalists of their day. Sometimes we're just as strict as they are, and we're just as ornery as they are also. Just because we're strict doesn't mean we're right. Just because we got all the T's crossed and the I's dotted doesn't mean our heart's right with God. They had it all right. But yet they complained when Jesus did something good for somebody on the Sabbath. They were a stickler of the law. They said everything had to be kept, every jot and tittle, every smallest of detail. But you know what? Jesus said those Pharisees were nothing more than blind guiles. He said they were vipers, they were snakes, they were ungodly, they were in their sins. So we can dress it up good on the outside and our hearts still be wicked as sin on the inside. So we can reject the Lord and have all those things. We can tremble like Felix. The Bible says when he heard Paul and heard the message, the Bible says he trembled. He came under conviction of the Lord, but it didn't change his life because he didn't do anything about it. We can be almost persuaded like Agrippa and die and go to hell after hearing the truth of God's Word. We can do all of those things because it's left up to our decision. What we're going to do with the Lord. Pilate said, what then shall I do with Christ? If I'm not able to release Him, what am I going to do with Him? I'm going to wash the blood off of my hands. And those Jews said, let His blood be on our hand and our children's hand. And I'll tell you what, they're still suffering this morning because of the blood of Jesus Christ being on their hands. And they'll suffer tremendously during the tribulation. The most hated group of people in this world are the Jews. That's what they wanted. They didn't care. A lot of people, they get what they want, they don't care. And then they wake up to the fact, I've wasted my life. It's over. And one day they find themselves in hell and they lift up their eyes being in torment. Too late. Why? Because they chose the way of the world. I think it's our responsibility as a Christian during this season that we tell people not only that Jesus was He born, thank God for His birth, but Jesus died. He died for the world, died for mankind. He died that we might have life. He died for that group that would say yes. Whosoever. I'm glad I'm in that group this morning. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you can say, we're in the group together. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad one day as a young boy I came to the understanding I was a sinner. I needed God. Nobody else could do it for me. And back about five rows in that old church, on the left-hand side from the pulpit, a little old boy heard the gospel and said yes. Thank God I'm saved. And whatever happened to me that day can happen to anybody that will believe, whosoever will. Let's stand together this morning. That is the message of our season.